Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
Bring in the hammer, my wedding gift.
Why does Fair Freya's eye burn like a spark from a furnace?
That was neatly done, Fair Freya.
Greetings, junior scholars. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the classics and inspire children to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in literature and history. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode, and especially my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we are doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, consider supporting me on Patreon for $5 a month. This is our first episode of 2023, so Happy New Year! And today, we continue with the Northern Saga, How Thor's Hammer Was Lost and Found. But before we get to the story,
lost and found words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try to spot them during the story. Our first word today is wrath, with a W, wrath. Wrath means extreme anger, rage, or fury. When Thor loses his hammer, his wrath breaks all bounds. Our second word today is grudge, with a G, grudge. A grudge is a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. You could also say bitterness or ill will. Our third word today is tempest, with a T, tempest. A tempest is a violent, windy storm. Our fourth word today is assent, with an A, assent. Assent means to express approval or agreement, to say yes to or accept. Loki asks Freya if he can use her magic falcon plumes, to which Freya assents or agrees. And our last word today is lamentations, with an L, lamentations. This is the passionate expression of grief or sorrow, weeping, wailing, or sobbing. When Freya hears she must be sent to a frost giant as a wife, her anger turns to lamentations or deep sorrow. That's all for today's Lost and Found Words. Now on to the show! Thor and Loki are usually bitter enemies, but when Thor wakes up and finds his hammer missing, the two end up working together to seek for the missing hammer. When they discover that Thrym, Prince of the Frost Giants, is in possession of the mighty hammer, the Asa come up with an unconventional plan. Will Thor retrieve his hammer? We'll find out on today's Junior Classic.
This is the tale the Northmen tell of how Thor's hammer was lost and found.
Precious in the eyes of Thor was his magic hammer, Mjolnir, of which even the mighty frost giants stood in dread. Always he laid it by his side when he went to rest, and always it was the first thing for which his hand was outstretched when he awoke. Judge then of his horror and dismay when, on opening his eyes one morning, the hammer was nowhere to be seen. Starting up with a roar of rage, Thor commenced to search everywhere for the missing weapon. Up and down his wonderful palace, built of the thunderclouds, he tramped, with a noise that shook the whole city of Asgard, but the hammer was not to be found. Then he called upon golden-haired Sif, his wife, and bade her help in the search, and still the hammer was nowhere to be seen. It was clear that someone must have stolen it, and when he realized this, Thor's wrath broke all bounds. His bristling red hair and beard stood up on end, and from them flew a whole volley of fiery sparks. Presently, as the angry Asa was shaking the palace with his thunderous voice, Red Loki came along to inquire into the trouble. He was not likely to sympathize with Thor, but, always brimful of curiosity, he loved to have a part in everything that happened.
"What's the matter, Asa Thor?"
said he. And Thor replied, lowering his voice as he spoke, for he did not want his loss to be widely known. This news of the missing hammer was most interesting to Loki, who had long owed Thor a grudge, for which he was afraid to pay openly.
"Then shall we soon have the giants turning us out of Asgard, brother Thor?"
"Not if you use your wits as you know how. Come, you call yourself a clever fellow. Find out for me who has robbed me of my thunderbolt, my hammer, my Mjolnir."
Then Loki gave a grin and a wink, and promised to do what he could, not because he cared for Thor, but because he loved to be of importance, and was, moreover, really frightened as to what might happen to Asgard if the magic hammer was not at hand. It was not too long before he noticed an extraordinary kind of tempest raging in the regions below. Not an orderly kind of tempest, with first some thunder, and then some rain, and then a gust of wind or two, such as Thor was wont to arrange, but a mixture of hail and wind and thunder and lightning and rain and snow, all raging together in a tremendous muddle, so that the earth folk thought the end of the world was come. This gave Loki a hint, and he began to peer about the clouds, until at length he saw that the trouble was coming from a certain hill, which stood in the center of Giant Land. Now on top of this hill lived a certain Thrym, prince of the frost giants, who for a long time past had been very envious of the might of Thor. He had indeed done his best to imitate him as far as he could, and had managed to get up a very good imitation of lightning and hail and rain. But he had not been able to manage the thunderbolts, for they could only be made by means of Thor's hammer, Mjolnir. All this was well known to Red Loki, and he was therefore not at all surprised to find that somehow or other, Thrym must have got hold of the magic weapon, for here were thunderbolts crashing about the earth and sky at a terrible rate. When informed of the discovery, Thor flew into still a more tremendous rage and wanted to rush off at once to try conclusions with the giant. But Loki, who loved rather to give a thing by trickery and deceit, persuaded him that violence would never do.
"Remember that Thrym with the hammer is much stronger than Thor without it. This is a matter which must be managed by clever wit and craft, not by force and loud talking. Leave, therefore, the whole matter to me."
To this, Thor reluctantly agreed. Then Loki bethought him of some disguise, wherein he might visit Giant Land in safety, for he was not at all anxious to risk his life. He betook himself to the House of Maidens, over which ruled Freya, fairest of all in Asgard. She who was wont to shake the spring flowers from her golden locks as she passed over the frozen uplands, leaving behind her a region of green and smiling beauty. Loki found the goddess and begged the loan of her magic falcon plumes, in which she was wont to flit to and fro over the earth. And when she learned for what purpose he needed them, she gladly assented. Then Loki took the appearance of a great brown bird, and spreading his wings, he flew away towards Giant Land. It was a long journey, as he already knew, and although the tempest had now ceased to rage, he found that the country of the giants darker and colder and drearier than ever. The longest journey comes to an end, and at length, Loki reached a mountain where sat the giant Thrym, his huge legs dangling to the ground, playing with a puppy as large as an elephant. Perching as near as he dared, Loki gazed at the giant with his bright round eyes and was wondering how to begin, when Thrym, who at a glance had seen completely through his disguise, said calmly, in a voice as much as possible like Thor's thunderous roar,
"Ho, ho, Loki, what are you doing so far from Asgard? Are you not afraid, little fellow as you are, to venture alone into our country?"
Then Loki, thinking to win his way by flattery, replied,
"Sad indeed is it in Asgard, now that Mjolnir has vanished. Clever was that one who spirited away from the very side of Thor. Methinks none but you could have done it, O mighty Thrym."
Pleased with the compliment to his cleverness, the giant chuckled before admitting,
"Aye, Loki, the hammer is mine, 'tis very true. And now men will know who really is the Thunderer."
"Ah, well, some men are strong by reason of their weapons, and some are just as strong without. Small need have you, O mighty Thrym, for hammers, but Thor is not without it. Yet since all the world knows that you are his master, let him have his plaything back, that we may cease to be troubled by his peevish outcry."
But though Thrym was as stupid as he was big, he was not to be caught thus.
"No, no, my little Loki. Mine is the hammer, and deep have I buried it, beneath the bottom of the sea. Go, tell this to your Asa folk, and say to them that I will give it back, on one condition only, and that is that they send me Freya, the fairest of maidens, to be my wife."
At this suggestion, Loki could scarcely keep from laughing, for the idea of sending the beautiful Freya, the joy and delight of Asgard, to be the wife of this ill-favored frost giant was too absurd for words. It was not much to him, however, what happened to anyone except himself, so he hastened to reply,
"Be sure, O Thrym, that everything I can do to further the matter shall be done, and if Freya is of the same mind as I, you will soon be welcoming that most sweet maiden to Giantland. Farewell."
So saying, he spread his brown wings and flew back to Asgard, delighted to think of the mischief he could now set brewing. First of all, he visited Thor and told him of what had passed. And the Thunderer, when he heard of Thrym's boastful words, was filled with wild wrath, and wanted to start off then and there, and wrest the hammer from the depths of the sea. But Loki pointed out the difficulties that stood in the way, and leaving the Asa to ponder over his words, he hurried off to Freya and informed her of Thrym's proposal. The beautiful Freya was walking in her garden, and round her neck she wore her famous necklet of stars. When she heard Loki's suggestion that she should wed a hideous giant, she fell into such a rage that she broke her necklace, and all the stars went falling through the sky, so that men cried, "See how the stars are shooting!" Meantime, the Asa folk had met together to consider all that had happened, and having calmed the fury of Thor, they pointed out to him that Asgard stood in the gravest danger of an attack, which would find them quite unprotected. When they had said this several times over, Thor began to weary of the subject, and replied with great surliness,
"Very well then, let Freya go to Thrym as his wife, and then shall we be as before with Mjolnir to defend us."
When Freya heard this, her rage turned to tears and lamentations, and she declared it would be her death to send her to the gloomy halls of Giantland, whence she could never hope to revisit the flowery meads and grassy slopes of Asgard. and the Asas, unable to bear the sight of her grief, with one voice declared that they would never spare her from the home of bliss. Then there stepped forward Heimdall, the watchman who sits on guard over the Rainbow Bridge by night and day. Now Heimdall had the gift of seeing into the future, and the Asas were always ready to hear his words, well knowing them to be wise.
"My plan is this. Let Thor borrow the clothes of Freya and put a thick veil over his face, and let him go thus to Thrym's castle and pass for his bride. And if he cannot by some means manage to get hold of the hammer when he is there, why, he must give it up altogether."
At this suggestion, the Asas clapped their hands with approval, all indeed save Thor, who looked most glum and was extremely unwilling to agree to the plan.
"Dress me as a bride, a pretty maiden I shall make. Ready enough am I to fight, but I will not make myself a laughingstock if I know it."
But the Asas besought him to give way, while Loki twitted him with cowardice. Fair Freya, too, appealed with tearful eyes, and so at length, with great reluctance, the Thunderer agreed to do what they wished. Fortunately, the maiden Freya was very tall, but even so, it was with some difficulty that they managed to cover the burly form of Thor with her robes. He insisted, moreover, upon wearing his own shirt of mail and his girdle of strength, and these took too much drapery to hide. Great was the laughter in the halls of Asgard that night, as the battle maidens brushed and curled Thor's long yellow hair and set a jeweled headdress upon it. And finally, when the maidens proceeded to cover up his thick beard and angry eyes with a silken veil, the mirth of the Asas was unrestrained. To complete the disguise, the maidens hung round his neck the famous necklet, which had now been restrung. And finally, Frigga, the wife of Allfather Odin, secured at his girdle the great bunch of keys proper to brides at a wedding in the Northland. While this was being done, Loki, more than all, had been convulsed with merriment at the success of his mischief-making. The very sight of Thor's disgusted looks and of his great hands clenched with rage under the delicate veil nearly killed him with laughter. And when all was ready, he declared himself unable to lose an atom of the fun in store.
"Let me go with you. See, I will dress myself as your handmaiden. Ah, you had better agree, for without me to prompt you, you will never play your part."
So Loki was dressed as a waiting maid and took his seat very demurely by the side of Thor in the goat car. Loud was the laughter in Asgard as the Asas watched the two drive off together and heard the roar of Thunderer's voice issuing from the folds of a meek maiden's veil as he urged his goats upon their course. Long and stormy was that ride to Giantland, for Thor was still in the worst of tempers and drove his chariot so furiously that the mountains crashed and the earth stood in flames as the hoofs of the goats clattered over mountains and waters, striking sparks wherever they touched a rock. Thrym was much overjoyed when he heard that a chariot containing the two maidens was approaching his door. Away ran his servants in different directions, some with orders to make ready a grand banquet, some to prepare the chamber of the bride, some to receive her at the door. The giant himself assisted them to alight, and looked with admiration at the stately figure of his bride. But he made no attempt to see her face, since it is the custom in the Northland for the bride to remain veiled until the marriage has been completed.
"A bride worthy of a giant," murmured his servants, as he led her to a lofty seat beside his own great throne of gold.
And they looked with approval also on the buxom form of the waiting maid, who stood closely veiled behind her mistress's chair. Now the journey had been long and cold, And it was with joy that the newcomers noticed that the preparations for the banquet were complete, for they were exceedingly hungry. The giants are huge eaters, and they gathered round the board, whereon were displayed an enormous ox roasted whole, a vast dish of salmon, and various other dainties. But because the bride was a woman, and modest withal, they brought her tiny morsels and a dainty golden plate. This was too much for Thor, who had always possessed a most healthy appetite, and was now more than usually ready for his supper. Gradually drawing nearer to the table, whilst the others were busy with the meal, he managed to get hold of the dish of roasted ox, and within a few minutes, the whole of the animal had disappeared. Then he put out his hand to the platter of salmon, and in 8 mouthfuls disposed of 8 of the great fish. After this, he noticed a large plate full of cakes and sweet meats, which was set apart for the ladies of the party. Of these too, he made short work. Finally, feeling thirsty after his huge meal, he took up 2 barrels of mead and tossed them back, one after another, down his capacious throat. Then he sat back on his chair with a sigh of deep content. These proceedings had been watched by Loki with uneasiness, but by Thrym with open mouth dismay. Was this the usual appetite of this dainty maiden, who had eaten more than the company of giants? But Loki bent towards him and whispered in his ear that the thought of marrying had so excited Freya that she had eaten nothing for 8 days, and had therefore been on the point of starvation. This reassured the giant, and being now himself filled with mead, he drew nearer, and lifting a corner of the veil, tried to kiss the cheek of his future bride. But Thor, who was longing to be at close grips with him, threw him such a fiery glance that he drew quickly back, saying,
"Why does fair Freya's eye burn like a spark from a furnace?"
"Pooh,"
whispered Loki again.
"That is nothing but her love for you, which for 8 days has raged like a flaming fire."
This news was still more pleasant to hear, and Thrym, in high good humor, cried,
"Bring in the hammer, my wedding gift, wherewith to plight the maid, for I have laid it on her lap, and she will be my own forever. And together we will work dire evil against the Asa folk, whom I hate with all my heart."
What was that unmaidenly sound that issued from under the silken veil at these words? But though Loki turned pale to hear it, Thrym, busy sending for the hammer, did not pay any heed. Back came the giant servants at length, bending under the weight of Mjolnir. And as they bowed before the silent maiden, sitting with meekly bent head upon the throne, Thrym cried with a merry jest,
"See, here is little Thor's tiny plaything, a pretty toy truly for his feeble hands. Take it, fair Freya, as my wedding gift."
"And take that as mine,"
roared Thor in a voice of thunder as he flung off the veil and rose to his full height. And with the words, he swung the hammer once, and ere the eye could follow its movement, it had crashed through Thrym's skull and had knocked over a round dozen of his guests. Yet again did it swing in the Asa's hand, and this time it left not a giant standing in the hall. A third time it was swung, and on this occasion, the roof and the walls of the palace came tumbling on every side, and only Thor and Loki left alive amid the ruins.
"That was neatly done, fair Freya."
Thor, who was now busily tearing off the hated robes and veil, stayed to look threateningly at his companion.
"No more of that, Loki. The thing had to be done, 'tis true. But talk not to me again of this woman's work. We will remember only that I am the Thunderer, and that my hammer that was lost is found."
So they drove back peacefully to Asgard, and this is the end of the tale of how Thor's hammer was lost and found.
The end.
Thank you for joining me for today's Junior Classic. The mighty hammer of Thor has been returned, and we have more Northern sagas to explore. Next time, we will hear the story of Balder the Beautiful. Until next time, I am Sir Bradley Hasse. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Junior Classics.